Galatians chapter number 5 in the Word of God tonight. Galatians chapter number 5 in the Word of God. As you find your place there, I just want to praise the Lord for what He has been doing in our midst. Oftentimes we come to Him and we ask the Lord, Lord, meet with us. Father, lead, guide, and direct us. And we thank the Lord. I want to stop and praise the Lord when He does meet with us, when He does lead us, when He does send visitors our way. And I don't know if you were able to meet all the visitors that were here with us this morning, but what a fantastic crowd we had today. And I just want to stop and say this. We had a young couple that was visiting this morning, first time they've ever been here, and they stopped to begin to talk to them. And they said, man, we're just so excited about the Word. And this passage of Scripture and Psalm just really, it spoke to us. And they were excited about being here. And he made a statement. The man said this. He said, and I quote, "This is the friendliest church I believe I have ever been in my life." Now, we ought to praise the Lord for that. Amen. That's not fake. That's not something that we conjure up. We don't hand out little stickers to remind everybody. Put a smile on your face under your mask or just pretend like you're friendly. Hopefully people will come and visit us. That is authentic and that's real. And that's God working in us and that light shining out. And I want to say, amen, this is a friendly church and God is doing a work in our midst. And I think we ought to stop and just praise Him and thank Him for what He is doing in our hearts and in our lives. And just stop for a moment and just praise Him. Let's pray that God continues to send visitors and God continues to work and God continues to bless and work in our midst and restore marriages and get a hold of teenagers' hearts and continue to allow us to surrender our lives to Him. But then when God meets with us, may we never just set back and say, well, okay, we did it again. Let's move on. No, I really feel compelled tonight that maybe just for a moment, let's pause and let's just give Him praise. For about 30 seconds, say, we've never done this before. It's okay. We can mash up our services. I promise you will live through this. I want us to stop for a moment. And just right where we sit, you don't have to pray out loud, just right where you sit for about 30 seconds, let's just praise Him for working in our midst this morning, for allowing visitors to come, for hearts to be restored. What great fellowship we have, Him working in us. Let's pray that He'll do it again tonight. After about 30 seconds, let's pray. And then, Pastor Dan, I'm going to ask you just to lift your voice right where you're at, as loud as you can, and just give Him praise for what He did in our midst this morning. And that He will do it once again tonight. Let's go to our Savior in prayer.
Amen.
Galatians chapter number 5 in the Word of God this evening. Galatians chapter number 5. As you found your place here, would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word? Galatians chapter number 5. We've been in a series now, The Fruit of the Spirit. And we continue once again here in verse number 22, where we find the fruit of the Spirit, those attributes of God that are lived out through our lives in a natural kind of way. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 22, the Bible says this, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." This evening, I want us to once again look at the fruit of gentleness. The fruit of gentleness. Thank you. You may be seated. As we find once again in this passage of Scripture, we find a word that oftentimes we do not use in our vocabulary as far as maybe an attribute that would be in our life often. We think about faith, yes. Think about joy, yes. We think about peace, yes. But what about this word gentle? When you think of the word gentle, what often comes to your mind? Well, in my mind, when I think about gentleness, I tell you what term doesn't come to my mind would be maybe a dentist. It just seems like, I don't know why, you know, they've got your mouth wide open, they have 18 tools in there. It's the scariest sounding tools I've ever heard in my life. It's the size of your fingernail, and yet it sounds like a drill, a jackhammer coming in there. You know, and then they always ask you questions. How does that feel? Like you're supposed to answer them with their hands down your throat. You know, gentle. Yeah. Maybe you found a good dentist. If you're watching live stream and you're a dentist, I'm not trying to offend you. If you're here tonight, you're not, or you are a dentist. I just be honest, there's a lot of dentists that have been real gentle in my mouth. I don't think of maybe of gentleness, a word or a term that I wouldn't think of or would fit that definition would be football. Football, a man's sport. What we got there? We love it. And I know we all complain because the NFL's gotten real strict and targeting and all this, especially some of you old schoolers. And here's, I remember the days we used to get out there, we didn't wear helmets, we didn't have pads, and you still have twitches from those days, but nonetheless, we love it, man. You know, somebody runs down it kicks off, and they're running down the field, and that tackle, and man, you can just hear the crowd when it's a good tackle. Boo, ooh, yeah, we love it. It's not gentle. We often think of gentle, we would think of maybe a term like mother. They're sympathetic, they're encouraging. They're encouraging even when others are rough. Webster's dictionary defines gentleness as being generous or kind. The Apostle Paul illustrated this kind of gentleness as he ministered to new Christians in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse number 7. He says, "But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children." It was Benjamin Franklin that stated, listen very carefully, "I will speak ill," not being mean or harsh, gentle. "I will speak ill of no man, not even in the matter of truth, but rather excuse the faults I hear, and upon proper occasions, speak all the good I know of everybody." Isn't it amazing that we find gentle in the Word of God, we find gentle in our English language, and yet oftentimes in 2021, it's kind of hard to find in America nowadays. We live in this world where it's a dog-eat-dog world. It's a mean culture that we live in. Even over this last year, we have seen it, I feel like, more than ever, a world that does not live with a foundation of gentleness. We live in this world where if we don't get our way, we're going to burn down buildings, or we're going to riot, and we're going to hurt people of an opposite team or an opposite political view, or we're going to rip somebody to shreds that doesn't hold to our preference. It's this kind of world we live in nowadays that when we think of the fruits of the Spirit, oftentimes I don't think 2021 would be underlying or this definition that, yeah, we live in a world that is very gentle. It just does not work that way. But as Christians, we ought to be gentle. We ought to allow this fruit of the Spirit to naturally flow through you and I. Let's look at this subject here for just a moment. And first of all, we're going to look at the example of gentleness. Number one, the example of gentleness. As a Christians, we have an example of gentleness that is much greater than just mom or mother's or a grandmother's love or gentleness. In fact, there is someone who surpasses the most conceivable idea of gentleness. That person is Jesus Christ. The Bible puts it this way in Psalm chapter 117 and verse number 1. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people, for his merciful kindness is great towards us. And the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. You see, the character of Jesus is important to recognize for his loving kindness and his mercy that he bestows upon you and I each and every day. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 21, the Apostle Peter says of Jesus' character, for even hereunto ye were called, because Christ also suffered for us. Now check this out. Leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on a tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. You and I cannot imagine what Jesus endured when he shed his blood on an old rugged tree for you and for me. Yet when he was reviled, when he was mistreated, when he was really used in a way that you and I cannot even comprehend, he did not revert to unkindness. He did not reciprocate their mistreatment. No, you and I know, and we sing the song, he could have called 10,000 angels. But I am thankful that his gentle, loving kindness, as the Bible says, reviled not again. Could have, listen very carefully, could Jesus have gotten revenge on those that buffeted him, that hit him, that plucked his beard from his face? Could he have gotten revenge? Without a doubt. He had the power to do so. In fact, he had the power that he did not even have to endure what he endured for you and I. But I love what the apostle brings out here is that even though all that happened to him, he did not go after revenge, but he was a gentle savior. The same ought to be true in our lives. We live in a day and age when people hurt us. We live in a day and age where we hear of bullies often. We live in a day and age now with social media that we're constantly involved in everybody else's life. And not everybody is always nice on Instagram. And not everybody is going to be nice on Twitter or Facebook or TikTok or whatever your social media platform is. Can I just be honest? Not everybody is just loving, kind, and all hearts all the time. And I just like everything that you post. No, there's people that are mean. But what is our spirit going to be towards people like that? Is our spirit going to be ugly back? Is our spirit going to be the type of person that says, you know what? They deserve this. Uh-oh. See, when we start talking about that way, we have to put in context what you and I deserve. What do you and I deserve? Hell. Yeah. All of us. I mean, you, Pastor, without a doubt. But yet, his kindness on me is so loving that God would send his only begotten son to die for Thomas Shepherd. His loving kindness is so great that could he have called out who hit him, who tempted him? Could he have rebuked those that were standing on trial before Pilate, those who were lying about him? Without a doubt. Could he have called out Caiaphas right there? Without a doubt. Yes. But he did not. His loving kindness was there. Gentle is understanding the affliction we could give, but choose not to. Amen. Gentleness is understanding the affliction that we could cause or put on someone, but you and I, in our mind, choose not to. That is the character of Jesus. Jesus not only displayed impeccable character toward those who hated him, but he also displayed a heart of compassion. In his kindness, he offered salvation to those who were crucifying him. And yet, he had that compassion. I think often days in the world that you and I live in, if you watch any type of news, if you're on any type of podcast, If you watch any type of television or listen to the radio, I think oftentimes you and I can draw a conclusion quickly that many people living nowadays have a very distorted view of God. That God is somehow hateful and he's full of wrath and he's this big bully up there in heaven and he just allows all these awful things to come in our life. But let's just be reminded through the word of God tonight that God is a God of truth. God is a God of love. He is gentle. He is long-suffering. He is patient. By his grace, he desires every one of us to have a personal relationship and walk with him. That's why Romans says in verse number 2 and verse number 4, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Our God is patient with us, but he also is gentle with us. Now, wait a minute. What if we just stopped right here? Now, you're not going to get that lucky, so don't be like, yeah, shut my Bible and zip it up. We're going to go into invitation. But what if we did stop right there? Wouldn't that be enough for you and I to chew on for the rest of the week? That God's character and God's compassion is so great in what he's done for you and I that we should or would draw close to him, take on that fruit of the Spirit that's going to shine through us, that we also have that type of character and that type of compassion on the world that we live in today. And let me tell you, it takes a lot of compassion. Look, people are very rude and mean out there. It used to be, and even when I was young, you could have differing opinions. And we all did. You could have a differing opinion in politics. It's what made America so great for the past several hundred years is that we lived with a balance of both sides, and that balance was okay. Now it's you either got to have all this, you got to have all this, and if you don't agree 100%, then I'm just telling you, there's all these lists that you're categorized now in. The world that we live in, it has so changed. And we are so on thin ice all the time that it is at times hard to handle the situations right. It's hard to have character and handle a situation in a godly type of way. Or it's hard to have compassion to handle some people right. Maybe we shouldn't say this in church, but I'm just going to say it tonight. Not everybody that we run into is super nice, are they not? Some people that you just sit back, you think, you are rude. You're mean. I don't know what you're saying on your face or on your mask, but maybe some of you are hitting your spouse or you're thinking, yeah, we know you're talking about. I'm not talking about anybody. I'm just saying we've all run into people before that. To be honest with you, you're not going to go have lunch with them every day. You and I have to have that compassion to be able to handle the situation right. It's the example that was set by Jesus, and that ought to be our ultimate example. That is the ultimate type of character that you and I should desire to have in our lives. We see, first of all, the example of gentleness, but number two, the expression of gentleness. We see that Jesus Christ is our example of gentleness, and we follow his standard that's in the Word of God. But how we express the fruit of the Spirit in our everyday lives is vitally important. We express it through, now watch very carefully, sensitivity. One of the first ways the fruit of gentleness is expressed is through sensitivity. Gentle people will be very tender towards God and others. Now watch very carefully. God is not interested in all the things you know as he is towards our heart and what we share with others. Now watch very carefully. It does not matter how many scriptures you've memorized and how many convictions you possess if you and I do not exhibit gentleness, kindness. There is a balance that you and I must have in our life here. It's through sensitivity. Now, let's put it all out there tonight. Sunday night, this is why I love this series, is because we kind of have to get to the nitty gritty, because we can fly through this and we miss the realm in which we live today. The realm in which we live today is that we have to be and live in a sensitive world. Now, I automatically know every hoary head in here, every gray-haired person in here, we automatically jump to this conclusion. Well, everybody's sensitive nowadays. Everybody, I mean, we're limp-wristed, and everybody just, hey, got thick, thin skin. And boy, the age I lived in, you know, everybody was a bully, and you handled it yourselves, and parents didn't get involved. And okay, look, I totally agree with you. And if we were talking about that flesh, we could talk there for a while. But we want to talk about the spirit, the spiritual side of being sensitive. That means this: we're not walking around just constantly on eggshells, but we do want to be sensitive towards others. Kindness, gentleness is understanding situations and being careful in those situations. Brother Mark, could you step up here just for a moment? This is Mark Yeager, and Brother Mark just sang with his family. Now, let me explain this and let's put it into context. We have rehearsed this, and to be honest, this is not in my notes, so whew, here we go. You ready for this?
Sure.
We're brothers in Christ, are we not?
Yes.
And we want to be, Brother Mark and I want to be sensitive towards each other. Now, that means this. In a sensitive world, let's put it out there for a moment, we are going to have differing opinions on things. Well, we both have 5 kids, as I say. Let me use somebody else. No, I'm just joking. We're going to have differing opinions on, sports teams and maybe even politics, or perhaps even tonight, if you're watching via live stream, you see this even. Brother Mark is wearing a mask, and I'm not wearing a mask. And maybe we have different views on whatever the case might be, fill in the blank. Now watch. Does that mean that as brothers in Christ, we're so sensitive towards each other that we tiptoe around and, oh, I don't want to offend them, and I can't say that, and I don't want to root for them, and oh, I don't want to offend them by, you know, he's got 5 kids. And no, that's not what it means at all. It means that we ought to have enough character in us to be sensitive in the things that we say so that we're not constantly knocking each other down. There is a mutual love that Brother Mark and I are going to have for each other, that maybe we have different views on things. So I'm going to have enough character and be sensitive that when I walk up, I'll say, hey, it's Brother Mark again. I see you got that stupid mask on, and I'm here to tell you, not me, brother. Hey, you know, now they're saying 5 masks is healthy. And look, and that's not mine. I'm just putting this out there, okay? I'm going to be sensitive in that, look, the man's got a preference. Is it really that important that we're going to duke it out and battle every time we see each other over the silliness of life? There is too much to accomplish together than to be so stuck on the silliness that the world is constantly feeding us, and or, let me put it this way, what Satan is constantly feeding us. Well, we don't agree on, you know, blue shirt, white shirt, gray tie or whatever, blue tie, green tie, a little bit colorblind there, but, short haircut, longer haircut, beard, yes, woo! We agree, that's great. There's two. It worked. I know. It's great. There's too much to accomplish than to be worried and concerned with all the little nitty-gritty in life. There ought to be enough sensitivity to understand that we shouldn't have thin skin, Brother Martin. In fact, the Bible says, stay right there, it says this, it says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You and I ought to have such a love for the Word of God and have that sensitivity towards each other that we're comprehending there is a lot to get done in the Indianapolis area, and is not two better than one in accomplishing getting the gospel of Jesus Christ out? Amen? See, it's, thank you, Brother Mark, it's the sensitivity, gentlemen, of when is the last time we asked our wife, hey, is there anything we can talk about? Gentleness is sensitivity in men taking the time to, Pastor, I don't want to open up, you know, that's going to open up Pandora's box. I dare ask, is there anything I need to change or anything I need to do? That's gentleness. That's sensitivity towards a spouse. What about ladies? When's the last time we stopped for a moment and just said, you know, considering the needs of a husband or of our children, stopping to think for a moment. Listen, but when is the last time we were just sensitive towards the needs of others around us? I'm thankful that my God left for us an example to follow, that the life and the ministry that Jesus had was not building himself up and me and look at I. If you don't agree with me, then boom, poof, you're gone. That the ground opened up and that was it. No, he thought of the needs of others around him. There were nights he did not sleep. There were nights he was in John 3 up with this man all night talking and the needs of those around him, the, you know, 5,000, 10,000 that needed to be fed. The sensitivity of our Savior was not necessarily just this, let's not offend anybody. Let's not, hey, everybody walk around. Oh, can't talk about that. Oh, you're thin skinned. And no, it was the sensitivity of our Savior that when the Spirit of God is working in your heart, you're not just thinking about yourself, but you're thinking about other people. It's sensitive. It's understanding gentleness is not just, well, we're all limp-wisted, we're all walking around. No, it's through sensitivity, but also it's through sympathy. Another way to express gentleness in our daily life is through sympathy. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 15, rejoice with them that do rejoice. Now, wait a minute. Whoa, I'm going to talk about the second part of this verse. But that is a Bible command, to rejoice with them that do rejoice. Pastor, what does that mean? That means this. Get happy with other people. We don't have to live in such a bubble that we're jealous of everybody else's life. If somebody's rejoicing in something that's happening, the Bible commands you and I that we ought to rejoice with them. We ought to be happy for them. Not live a life, well, oh, I'm just telling you, I rejoice with you, but I'm just mad. I'm not the one with the new car. I'm the one that's mad I didn't get a new house. And I shouldn't have said that. Nobody has said that, okay? But still, I wish I could go on vacation. Wish we could have gone to Gatlinburg. Wish we could have gone down and stayed at the Smokies. Wish we could go to Disney World. Wish we could go to Epcot. It's rejoice. They had a good time. They were able to do this. They led somebody to the Lord. Well, I wish I could lead somebody to the Lord. It's been a long time. Look, rejoice with them that do rejoice. But watch the second part of this verse. It says this, and weep, watch now, with them that weep. What is that? It's sympathy. It's gentleness. Everybody has burdens, and some people's marriages are uncertain, and other bodies are filled with cancer. Many are dealing with burdens far beyond at times even our comprehension, and a spirit-filled Christian is marked by his response to adversity and sympathy towards those who are hurting during this adverse time. Weep with them means this. Sometimes, you ready? Sometimes there are those people that just need a shoulder to cry on. Not everybody, not everyone that comes up and is crying needs us to fix every problem in their life. It's not for you and I to say, well, they're coming to me and crying, so I guess, here we go, let's roll the sleeves up and boy, I'm telling you, both barrels loaded. Here we go. You know, sometimes there are those who are going through a tough time and they just need a shoulder to cry on. They just want to weep. I found out early on in my relationship, some of you men, you're the same. Look, just because your wife is crying doesn't mean that you and I have to, yeah, baby, watch this. I'm going to fix everything. Get tough, woman, because, you know, sometimes life is hard. Not a good thing to say. Sometimes what our wife needs is they just want to cry. I mean, it's like, I can pick 12 different verses in the Bible where, I mean, go to Ruth. Like, women are crying. They're crying throughout the Word of God. Oftentimes, women cry. And I'm not offending anybody. I grew up with 7 sisters. I have 4 daughters. I happen to be married to one. I know women pretty well. And sometimes they just want to, watch, weep. You know what they need? Somebody to cry. So I just, it's just, It's just sympathetic. I remember one time Carrie and I went through a really tough situation, really hard time. Carrie's pregnant with the twins, and Carrie just really basically about died in the hospital and delivering our twins. Everything was good. She hemorrhaged, and just very quickly things went really bad. And I praise the Lord, Carrie, my wife, is here tonight. God worked just an absolute miracle in our life. I remember being there and just going through all the hullabaloo we went through, just about losing my wife and the emotional stress and the toll. And I just, anyone who's ever been through that situation, you know where I'm going with this. But I remember getting done, and finally it's about 3 o'clock in the morning. We'd been up for, you know, well over 24 hours, and our twins are doing great. And finally, you know, Carrie is sleeping, and she's just going back and forth, getting more and more blood put back in her body and back in her body. And finally, I just had just a moment's break. And I remember I walked out of that intensive care unit. As I walked out of that intensive care unit, I walked through the doors. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. And there was just several men from the church, and they were all out in the waiting room. They were just praying. As I walked through that door, I never forget, a man named by the name of Dallas. Dallas was just an absolute tall man. He was a big man. You shook his hand. You ever shook somebody's hand just thinking, this guy is massive, just a huge man. He was one of my deacons. And I walked out, and there was Dallas. And Dallas came over, and Dallas did not say a word. And Dallas, this just grisly bear of a man, just put his arms around me and just hugged me. And I'm telling you, I wept. I bawled like a baby just hugging this man. He never said anything. I never said anything. He just let me cry and cry and cry and just praise the Lord that my wife had made it through. Yeah, there's situations in our life where there's people that we don't necessarily have to fix everything. They just need us to sit and to listen. Just listen. Just shh. Just listen. You see, there is gentleness that you and I are sympathetic, but we're also going to express it through straightforwardness. Now listen, straightforwardness. Excuse me while I drink. I feel like I'm about to lose my voice here, so give me one moment here. Through straightforwardness. Gentleness is also conveyed through straightforwardness. Now, I know this may seem backward or just does it seem like, man, we're talking about sympathy. This is weird. Now we're talking about straightforwardness. Now, hold on. Gentleness is also conveyed through straightforwardness. It's gentleness is not necessarily looking at the subject and saying, okay, so I guess gentleness is weakness. No, sometimes you love someone and it's necessary to be straightforward with that person. That's why the Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. There are times, ladies and gentlemen, in your life that you're going to have to be honest with someone else in your home. That means, Brother Mark, let me just use you one more time. Just hurry, come up here real quick. Sorry, didn't mean to wake you up there, brother, but I'm glad you're back with us. And there are sometimes, yes, we're going to be careful and we're going to be sensitive. And we're going to be, oh, yeah, he's crying or short. We're going to be sympathetic. But then also gentleness is displayed in being straightforward. That means this, the relationship that Christians ought to have with each other could lead to a gentle spirit that helps another person by being brutally honest with them. That means Brother Mark and I should have such a relationship with each other that Brother Mark should be able to come to me as a friend and be straightforward with me. I've just seen, Pastor, I just be honest, you're raising kids, and our life, we made a mistake in allowing our kids to be involved in or to watch a certain show, or they begin to play this game. And here's what I saw in my kids. They begin to, and he just begins to name it. Well, what's he doing? He's being straightforward with me that there's something you see in my life that can be avoided by not going down the same path that you're going on. Now, my attitude towards that could be, well, my kids aren't your kids, and the shepherd kids are, they're tougher, and they've just, you know, how dare you, and why would you even be in my business? And or my attitude could be, man, thank you, Brother Mark. I really appreciate that. You know, I have never even looked at it that way. I never even thought about, you know, that video game or that movie had the insinuation of, or this had the indoctrination. And man, I'm telling you, Carrie and I are going to take that and we're going to look at that. There's some things we need to change. Everybody with me tonight? You see where it's going? It's a straightforwardness. Now look. This is where we got to be very careful. Because Brother Mark and I can have a relationship that I can cry in, oh, I need you, and sympathetic. And yes, we can have those times that it's being sensitive towards we don't agree 100%. Or your preference is this, my preference is this. Your standard is this, my standard is this. The Bible is the same. Our foundation is the same, but we're just not agree 100%. You know this, I know this. Now watch. But you and I have to be careful that when we hear straightforwardness, automatically start thinking, oh yeah, good. Whew, this is the moment I've been waiting for. Because I have seen a lot of people in church that I've been meaning to talk to them. On their social media, you know, they liked a certain song or I saw them in the grocery store and they were picking up a certain product that had a little bit too much aspartame in it. And so this is my opportunity to get together with them and to correct the entire world. Wrong, friend. Now listen. If we have a relationship with someone, that relationship ought to be deep enough that we could talk about the tough things of life. If we don't ever talk to someone, ever, and finally that moment, me and Brother Mark don't ever talk. We sit on opposite sides. We work in different places. What is even your wife's name? And I walk up. Hey, brother, remind me of your name. Oh, it's Brother Mark. That's right. Look, Mark, I just be honest. I've seen your kids, and I'm concerned, brother. They are reprobates, and they're running around here. Now, you know, I'm using him because we're friends. I can say this. Nothing. Okay, look, you know I'm going. And they're this, and they're that. I'm just, Mark is here say, I'm sorry, who do you think you are? Would we not? See, the relationship in church, yes, have sympathy. Yes, we want to be sensitive. But we want to develop families and relationships that it's not just an accountability partner, it's a straightforwardness. It is a, I love you enough to try to help you. To where really, Brother Mark, we would develop a relationship where it's not you and I just worry to be straightforward with each other, you know, draw and here we go, let's duke this out. It's going to be, we love each other enough that I'm going to come to you. Brother Mark, I need you to pray for me, and I'm struggling. What should I do? And at that moment, I've handed the ball to him to be able to be straightforward and say, here is what the Word of God says. You see, gentleness, I think when we look at it, we think, well, let's just be gentle. We're good. Let's head out the door. Thank you, Brother Mark. But it's so... I'm offended now. Gentleness is so much more. It ought to be expressed every single day. It ought to be expressed in the way that we live our life. But watch very carefully. The example, the expression, but number three, don't shut your Bibles just yet, but the empowerment of gentleness. You may be thinking, okay, all this talk about gentleness is great, but I'll just be honest, it's just not a part of my DNA. Gentleness is great for a younger generation, but I grew up in a generation where we're kind of rough around the edges, and we don't get offended at anything. A buddy, I can take it, and it's just not part of me. Well, look, newsflash, that is true about all of us. Look, now, all of us have inherited Adam's sin nature. That is why you and I need the Holy Spirit working in our daily lives. Remember what the Bible says here. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. It does not say the fruit of the church is gentleness. It doesn't say if you go to church this week, then you're going to be gentle and you're going to be kind and you're going to be peaceful and you're going to be joyous every day. No, it does not say it's the fruit of an organization or the fruit of a family tree or the fruit of us living the best we can. No, what the very word of God says, it is the fruit of the living God that indwells the believer. That's why Ephesians chapter 5 verse number 18 says, and be ye not drunk with wine, wherein is in excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Are you and I, listen now, in this day and age, are we known for being gentle? Are we known for our compassion? Are we known for our sensitivity? Are we known for watch now, that straightforwardness that we ought to have in our life, that we can address, watch very carefully, a child and love them enough to say, look kid, look teenager, listen college student, I'm saying this because I love you. I'm saying this because I want to see you succeed. I want to see God splashing through you. And look, do we have that gentle spirit enough to address maybe a family member or a co-worker? It's gentleness. But if we're going to rely on ourselves, it's just not going to happen. We have to be filled. It has to be the Holy Spirit that fills you and I, and that is what you and I display. When it's in our own strength, look, we're going to fail. We're going to dress in mind. We're going to try to be sympathetic. We're going to try to be that example. If Thomas Shepherd just says, yep, that's me. I'm going to do it. Boy, this week, I've really determined. Here's what I'm going to do. I just can't do it. No, I can't. Can't do it. When our example is Jesus, our expressions are Christ-like, and your empowerment is from the Holy Spirit, the fruit of gentleness will flow from your heart and from your life naturally. I think sometimes we put far too much weight on things in the long run really does not matter. Well, it's not the way I was brought up, or it's the way I was brought up, or it's because I was never hurt, because I was hurt, it's because I had the easy life, because I had the hard life. And we put all of this, and honestly, do we not believe that God can change any heart and any life? Do we not believe that? Amen? Of course he can. If he has the power to save you and I, as I said this morning, and the power to keep you and I saved. We're sealed. No one breaks that seal. There is not a sin that you and I can commit that would break our family line or our family tree or our relationship in Christ. If you believe that, say amen. Don't lose your salvation. Watch now. If God has the power to save us and to keep us saved, does he not have the power that no matter what our character is, no matter what our background is, no matter what our, this is just who I am. No, doesn't matter. You fill in the blank. Does he not have the power to change you and I?
Yeah.
Anybody who's worked down at the mission downtown will tell you, Brother Eric, real quick, you've seen people get saved that most people look at and say, they'll never get saved. Some of the greatest missionaries who have ever gone overseas were not your typical fifth, sixth grader that surrendered to Christ at junior camp and grew up in a Christian home. I'm just telling you, some of the greatest missionaries didn't even get saved till later on in life and lived a reprobate life, and yet God saved them and used them. If we're going to impact Indianapolis, it is going to take a gentle spirit. A kind spirit. Indianapolis does not need a country club, even though we're on that road, a country club that is just, it's us and no more. If you don't have the secret pin, then you're not in. Let me tell you something. Those doors are open and going to stay open. And everyone is welcome. Amen? But it's going to take a gentle spirit that maybe somebody doesn't look like us and act like us and dress like us. The music doesn't, it's not where we're at. And they come in, they don't know hymns, and they don't know the Bible, and they don't know. You know what? It's going to take a gentle, sensitive spirit with that person. Nobody walks in that back door and, well, I'm just telling you, if you come back next week, you better have a haircut. If you come back next week, I'm just telling you, you don't have a tie, I'll give you a tie to wear. Well, you come back next week, I'm just telling you, yeah, you're going to have to, you need to bring your family, have your wife here. Well, just look. You know what? Somebody walks in that back door, you know what they need? An arm around them, or social distancing, whatever, okay? A handshake or a fist bump, and hey, you know what? We've got some extra room on our pew. Why don't you come sit with us? Gentleness. Some sensitivity towards, you know what? Some people go through hard times. And when they go through hard times, maybe it's not quite up to us to make sure that tomorrow morning they're clicking their heels and zippity-doo-dah, it's a wonderful day. And let's just know, you know, some people go through some down times. Maybe we've got to have some sympathy towards them. You see, the fruit of the Spirit, we run through it so fast, I think we miss what God has packed in this passage for you and me. And yet, I'm not going to totally put my weight in this, but this is a fruit of the Spirit that is absolutely necessary if you and I are going to get the gospel of Jesus Christ around the globe. The fruit of gentleness. The empowerment is not us, but the empowerment is Him.